All right, the rapture refers to the time when Jesus is going to come, not touching down the ground, just in the air, without warning, and take away his born-again Christian believers from the earth. After the rapture, the Lord will unleash his wrath upon the earth, upon the sinful, unbelieving world for 7 long years. This is the time that is known as the Great Tribulation. In the Bible, you will find the word tribulation many times. Some of them does not have but this one is the Great Tribulation. There are many pastors who choose not to acknowledge the rapture. And they say, well, the word rapture is not mentioned in the Bible. And for them, I respond that the word Bible is never mentioned in the Bible either. Or they say that it's not certain whether it's going to come before the tribulation or not. I believe that your view, listen carefully, please. I believe that your view of the rapture will have a significant impact on the proper understanding of the end time prophecies, also known as eschatologies. I did some research. According to survey, listen carefully, please. According to survey by Lifeway Research Group in 2016, mainline Protestant pastors, 36% of them, and they don't believe that rapture is a literal. 36%. More than one third of the pastors do not believe. Pastors who hold this view include about half of the Lutheran, actually more than half, 60%. And 48% of Methodist and Presbyterian and Reformed pastors, about half of them, 49%, don't believe the rapture exists. Few Baptist pastors, 6%, and less than 1% of Pentecostal pastors don't believe the rapture will happen. Evangelical overall, about 43% believe their pre-tribulation theology is the correct. Actually, that is the highest. The rest of them is disputed amongst the different theologies. It is no wonder that Christians do not have a clear understanding of rapture theology. And they don't understand when it's going to happen. One of the main doctrines that Calvary Chapel subscribes to is pre-tribulation. In other words, rapture will happen before the 7-year tribulation. Pastor Chuck, he has such a gentle way, so much gentler than what I would ever do. He said, don't get mad, just go away. And I'm not saying that those who don't believe pre-tribulation, they are not Christian or they will not go to heaven. And what I'm saying is that they just, in my opinion, they just have a wrong theology. I'm saying that those who don't subscribe to pre-tribulation theology will never be in the position of teaching in our church nor any of the Calvary chapels. Why do we don't allow them? Because the confusion will give to the congregation. Am I making sense? Because when I try to explain like Ezekiel and Daniel and Revelation and Joel and Zechariah, and if you don't subscribe to the pre-tribulation, it doesn't work well. And there will be a confusion within the body of Jesus Christ in this church, as well as other Calvary chapels. So some people get upset, because I don't subscribe to the pre-tribulation, so you're not going to let me teach. So, yes, that's correct. Let's stop and pray. Heavenly Father, many voices, many different opinions, but one thing for sure, that your word is absolute. Your way is always right. Father, let us not build your word around our concept. Let our heart be open to your word, that we may see the way you see, especially for this important theology rapture. Father, we are asking you, will be done, and your voice will be heard in our heart, and you give us wisdom that to understand your ways. Father, we are asking you guidance upon us. Anoint our heart. Anoint the one who speaks. And Father, we pray for this divided country. Father, we're asking your holiness and justice be done. And Father, then more than anything, all the people in this country, in this great nation, may come to know Christ. And revival do happen. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. By the way, I recently found out that there is a Christian who told me that there is no such a thing as a revival in the Bible. I was like, whoa. To each his own, right? The scripture clearly tells us that no man can possibly know when the rapture is going to happen. Have you ever heard that? Okay, let's go to Matthew chapter 24, verse 36. Jesus speaking. Matthew 24, 36. But of that day and hour, would you underline next three words, please? No one knows. Okay? No one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Do you think that's clear for you? Is it vague? He shouldn't be so subtle. Yeah. But as the day of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For in the day before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all the way. So also will be the time coming of the Son of Man be. Okay, stop there, please. Jesus told us that his word is a final. Would you agree? And no one can change that or reverse that, what he said. Here he said, no one knows the time of the day of the rapture. Only God, only the Father. But somehow, people say, well, I got this revelation, or I have this formula. If you hear anybody said that kind of thing, please walk away from that person. Don't argue with that person. Just walk away. Jesus said, no one knows means no one knows. In Swedish, it's no one knows. In Korean, it's no one knows. And I don't know which part of a no one knows people don't understand. Whenever some La La Land theologian says he has a formula, it's like a, and the worst part is they get the flock. They get the crowd. Mr. Kemp, the guy who died, and he predicted this particular day, and there was a big following, and that day came and gone, and he said, well, I did a miscalculation. Too late, Bubba. You just made the mockery of the Christianity. And whenever that kind of thing comes up, people follow, and then they go down hook, line, and sinker. And they rather believe, listen carefully, this is an amazing thing. People rather believe what man says than what God says in the Bible. In other words, they're literally saying no to the Bible and following what man says. We need to figure out why there is still have a controversy. Generally, there are four different concepts of the time of the rapture. Those who believe the rapture will happen before tribulation are known as pre-tribulation. Those who believe the rapture will happen sometime in the middle of a tribulation are known as a mid-tribulation or mid-trib. And usually they tend to think that it will happen right smack dab in the middle of the tribulation, 3.5 years. And that's when the abomination of the desolation happens. And the third camp are those who believe that rapture will happen after the tribulation. They are known as a post-tribulation people or post-trib people. And then there is the last group. Oh, no, a couple more. One group is kind of rather recent. It's the shortest time to compare with others. And wrath, pre-wrath tribulation people. They usually think that after the sixth seal and before the seventh seal, the rapture will happen. And one thing for sure, in their mind, Christian will go through the tribulation. The last one is the pan-tribulation. They really don't have a biblical reference to go from. It's something they just came up with and they're arguing about it. So why does the debate continue concerning the time of this event? I believe it is due to the misunderstanding of two elements. Number one is the elect. Bible mentioned about the elect often. So since we're in chapter 24, go to the chapter 24, verse 21, please. Matthew chapter 24, 21. It's the first book in the New Testament. For then shall be the great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor shall, ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved. For the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Okay. Based on this verse, people say, aha, here is the reason the elect will go through tribulation. But the problem with that is the elect refers to one of the threes. One, first group is Christians according to Colossians 3:12. And second group is Israel in general, Isaiah 45:4. And those who will be saved during the great tribulation time. Am I making sense? So which group of elect is mentioned here? Instead of we guessing it, why don't we go to verse 1 verse before the verse 21? Go to verse 20, please. Matthew chapter 24, verse 20. It says, pray that your flight may not be in winter or on what?
Sabbath.
Okay, Sabbath. Even to this day, when you go to Israel, transportation in Israel is shut down on the Sabbath. Literally. You don't see anywhere. And since the Sabbath means nothing to the Gentile nations, this application is for the elect, the Israel in general. Am I making sense? Yes? No?
Yes.
I had an occasion to talk with a person who was a staunch believer of the mid-tribulation. He made a good argument that he saw the parallel between the chapter 24 and the Revelation chapter 6. So he firmly argued with me that the church would go through tribulation. One very important thing he didn't include, he missed out in his equation is this elect. It's not the church, it's the Israeli people. And you don't find it anywhere from the Revelation chapter 6 to 19 referring to the church. Some people also argue that those who get saved during the tribulation are the church. No, they are not. They are the ones who get to the heaven after they get killed by the Antichrist and their followers. Second element that people forget is the trumpet. First, would you go to 1 Corinthians? You know what? We're going to come back to the Matthew, so put something in bookmark in there. If you need a bookmark, ask Karen. She has about 2 dozen of them handy. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52. In a moment. Are you there yet? In a moment. in a twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. What kind of sin would that be? Can you describe what is it describing here? Rapture. Okay. Based on this verse, people say, see, according to Revelation chapter 11, 7, or the last trump, signaling the rapture will take a place midway through the tribulation. But wait a minute. Each trumpet of the Revelation mentioned in chapter 8 through 11 is sounded by who?
Angels.
Whereas 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 16, which we are going to study next week, make it clear that trump is sounded by God. Would you go to the 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 16? If you don't believe me, I want you to go home and check the Revelation 8 through 11. Whenever you see trumpet call, there's an angel is the one who's blowing. Okay? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 16 says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven, that is Jesus, excuse me, with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with what? Trump of who? Angel?
God.
Yeah. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Stop there. So we understand that trumpet call is done by the Lord for the rapture. And the elect, the mention here in chapter 24 is for the Israel, not church. Amen? Do you understand?
Yep.
Okay. Don't fall asleep on me. I'm going to make you to stand on the chair. All right. Let's talk about the 12 reasons for pre-tribulation. Reason number one. The rapture doctrine is to be a comforting one. Think about it. Let's go back to the 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 18. After Apostle Paul just described in verse 16 and 17 about the rapture, and he said this in verse 18. Therefore, torture one another.
Yes.
Did it say? No? It doesn't say that. What does it say?
Comfort.
Yeah. Comfort one another with the word that reminding there will be a rapture. Belief that rapture happens after or in the middle of the tribulation is anything but comforting, isn't it? Think about it. Once the great tribulation started, according to our Bible in the book of Revelation, people were dying left and right, and natural disaster will happen. The earthquake that Richter scale 9 and 10 will happen, or the hurricane or storm coming like a Laura or whatever the other thing. It's going to happen left and right. Well, not only that, there will be World War III. That is anything but comforting. So if we are taken out before the tribulation, that will be comforting. Second reason, the tribulation is the outpouring of the wrath of the Lamb. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, since we're in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 9, please. For God did not appoint us to what?
Wrath.
Would you underline, for God did not appoint us to wrath. Whose wrath?
His.
God's wrath. But to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Stop, please. God has not appointed us to the wrath. The wrath that should have been hurled at you and me. But it was taken away by somebody else. Who would that be?
Jesus
on the cross. So, when he already took our wrath, why should we get more wrath? Am I making sense? Third reason. Pre-tribulation rapture is illustrated in Genesis chapter 19. where we see the angels delivering Lot and his family before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. How do I know this is the picture of the rapture? Because in reference to this, Peter, the apostle Peter, writes in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Would you go there, please? I told you we are going to go run all over. 2 Peter, way in the back, close to the Revelation, chapter 2, verse 9, please. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the, what? Day of judgment. Wow. Okay. That means we're going to escape the judgment. Not only are we going to escape the judgment, we're going to escape the wrath that would come to us. Fourth reason. When the great tribulation occurs on earth, I expect to be in heaven standing before the Son of Man and singing the worthiness of the Lamb. And how do I know? Because the Bible says so. The last book, Revelation chapter 5. Please. Am I making sense so far? Here he is. Then they, who would that be a they? All the saints in heaven, us. They sang a new song saying, and you're going to say, how do you know? I will show you. You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain. Who would that be?
Jesus.
And have, what?
Redeemed
us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and the people and nation, have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Okay, so let's be logical. If somebody else is there, but not the body of Jesus Christ in general, all the born again believers, then how can that be? If it's an angel, who else could be in heaven other than born again believers and the angels, right? Can angels be redeemed? Yes, no. Why? Because they are not physical being. They're only spiritual being. Only church can sing the song of redemption. Who else going to be his kings and priests? No one else other than his church. And you're thinking, wow, there's going to be a lot of kings and priests. Don't worry about it. God can handle it. We find that the church is the singing, the song of redemption occurred in Revelation chapter 5 before the opening the scroll chapter 6. Soon as angel opened the seal, first seal, second seal, go through, there's more and more disaster happening on the earth. Remember in the book of Revelation? Which showed the start of a great tribulation on the earth. So chapter 4 and chapter 5 is happening in heaven while the earth is about to go into absolute living hell on earth. Okay. Fifth reason. It simply is not consistent with the nature of God to judge the righteous with the wicked. And to support this, Romans chapter 1, please. Romans chapter 1. Verse 18. You there yet? For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. God will not judge righteous those who are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. So we, the church, are not. Remember what we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9? For God did not appoint us to what?
Wrath.
Exactly. We, the church, are not appointed unto wrath during the tribulation time. Where would we be? In heaven. Sixth reason. Jesus told us to pray that we would be raptured before tribulation. Would you go to Luke chapter 21?
Yeah.
you know, back to that other point, that's the big hang up with me about these other God's grace and his, he wouldn't, it, that, it, we just wouldn't go through that. That doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
That's the big one for me. It just, it's so inconsistent.
Yeah. It's going against the nature of God. Yes, yeah. Sir. Huh?
Don't forget, he destroyed the whole world.
We're going to talk about that.
Oh, you are? Okay, yeah.
You brought the good point. Okay. You brought a very good point. We're going to go there. Chapter 21 of the book of Luke, verse 36. Jesus speaking. Again, it's a red letter in your Bible. Watch therefore. Pray always that you may be counted worthy to what? Escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Amen. In speaking of tribulation, during his Olivet discourse, Jesus said, watch and pray always, and you may become worthy to escape all these things. How are we going to be accounted worthy? Are we worthy without Jesus? His blood washed our sins. And when God the Father sees us, he doesn't see our sin. He sees Jesus' holiness. Glory to God. Reason 7. Tribulation rapture, pre-tribulation rapture makes sense historically and scripturally. Would you go to John chapter 14, please? In case you didn't get it, I sent you the email with a complete sermon note. Some of you may download it already, and you can go over that thing one more time. It will make sense. Chapter 14, verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions, or some of your different versions said many dwellings. That's fine. I don't care whether it's a mansion. I don't care whether it's a condominium or apartment. As long as I have a little place to stay in heaven, I'm good. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. In accordance with the Jewish custom, we watched this movie not very long ago, remember? According to their custom, men come to the age of marry, and he would add a room in his father's house. So if the father had 10 sons, boy, they better have a lot of extra space, parking lot or something, because they're going to add all these rooms for himself and the bride. When the addition was completed, and he tell his father, it is done. And then from that moment, the groom does not know when he's going to go get the lady, his wife-to-be. He just knows that father's going to give me an answer. So who is the one who knows that day?
Father.
Only father, not the son. And when the fathers think that's one particular day, and he's going to blow the trumpet. Not the servant, not the head of the servant, not the son, but the father. That signified that the bridegroom would go meet his bride. Following the wedding ceremony, bridegroom would take his bride into their bridal suite. For 7 days, bride and bridegroom stay in their house, in their room. After 7 days, they come out, introduce themselves to the whole community. Am I making sense? That's exactly what is going to happen with us. Jesus, our bridegroom, is preparing place for us in heaven. Our mansions is in Father's kingdom. At the appointed time, only Father knows, and trumpet by God will sound, and Jesus will meet us. That is the rapture. And his bride in the air, and he will escort us up to the bridal suite that is in heaven. We will remain with him in heaven for 7 years before he presents us to the world, where we will rule and reign with him. I don't think any of us will argue or bicker over who's going to get which position. Not like disciples or none like any one of us. We'll be happy to just hang around with Jesus. Eighth reason. Pre-tribulation rapture follows the outline of the book of Revelation. What am I saying? If you don't embrace pre-tribulation view, your understanding of a revelation, book of Revelation, becomes as twisted as a pretzel. Okay, you may not like the way I put big figure of speech, but
don't sugarcoat it, Tom.
Yeah, really twisted. Because if you hold the mid-tribulation stance, you got to put the chapter 4 and 5 that I mentioned behind chapter 11. If you take a post-tribulation view, you need to put the chapter 4 and 5 after chapter 19. Only a pre-tribulation placement of rapture allows the consistent flow of the book of Revelation. Make sense? No? There's always somebody who's trying to pull the leg. No more teaching for you, Gary. Ninth reason. Pre-tribulation rapture allows for the conditional aspect of tribulation. Go to chapter 2 of Revelation, please. The last book. Chapter 2. By the way, don't ever say Revelations. It's not plural. It's singular. Revelation chapter 2. Verse 22. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation. Note that great tribulation, please. Unless they repent of their deeds. If the rapture won't occur until after the tribulation, what would be the reason for this warning of Jesus against the church of Thyatira? The great tribulation mentioned here is megas thesaulipsis in Greek. This is the exact same word that is used and described in the 7-year tribulation throughout the Revelation 6 through 19. Let me know when you guys are ready for me to change the slide. Ready? If Gary is done, everybody's done. Well, didn't Jesus say this in this world we would have a tribulation? Somebody might ask. Yes, that kind of tribulation, which actually should be translated as a trial. The believers go through the world in this world is from Satan. But the tribulation mentioned in chapter 6 through 19 in the book of Revelation, on the other hand, is from God as he pours out his wrath into the Christ-rejecting world. Folks, God will not allow us to get hit by it from the both sides. As we learned, God will not appoint us unto the wrath. If we experience tribulation in this world because of our faith, we will not experience great tribulation of those who have no faith in Christ Jesus. Can I change the slide? 10th reason. Pre-tribulation rapture square with the prophecy of Daniel. What am I saying? According to Daniel's prophecy in chapter 9, 3.5 biblical years. Remember, biblical years were 360 days, not 365 days. Jewish calendar is the 360 days. From the day and the Antichrist entered into the temple and demanded worship midway through the tribulation, which we know as the abomination of that desolation, the Lord will return. So you count, think about it. If we see the Antichrist going to the temple, you count 360 days that day. Okay, you with me? Then everybody knows that's the time that Jesus is coming back. That will be the rapture. Then Jesus lied. He said, no one knows. I take it back. That is the time, the second coming of Jesus Christ, with the people, his people from heaven to claim the earth. If it is post-tribulation rapture, what would be the purpose of the rapture happen right before the second coming? Okay, you all come up here. Okay, look around. All right, let's go down to the earth. No reason for it. Am I making sense? All right, 11th reason. The tribulation is unnecessary for the church. Where do I find it? Romans chapter 11, please. Romans 11, verse 25. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion. That blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentile has come in. So all Israel will be saved. Get that, please. Understand. All Israel will be saved, for it is written, deliverers will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Who is a Jacob? In this case, Israel. So refer to the time as the time of Jacob's trouble. Tribulation targets Israel, for through it, she will be awakened, Israel will be awakened, and at last see Jesus as their Messiah, according to Romans 11, 25 and 26. The promise God made to Abraham and the Jewish people have not been forgotten in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29 and 30. God will work with Israel in the day of tribulation. He will make himself known to them, and they shall indeed be saved. Would you go to Deuteronomy chapter 4, please? Fifth book of the Old Testament, beginning of the Old Testament. 29. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. When you are in distress, all these things come upon you in the latter days, when you turn to the Lord your God and obey his voice. Okay, Moses is speaking. Am I correct? Yes? No. To who? To the church?
To Israel.
Are you sure? Yeah, to Israel. God will make himself known to them, and God will take care of them. Okay, last reason. Pre-tribulation rapture illustrates Enoch and who has taken to heaven prior to the flood. Genesis chapter 5, please. Mikey mentioned about what about Noah? Okay, now we're going to go there. Genesis chapter 5, verse 24. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And someone will say, nice try. It's a wrong analogy. Correct picture is the Noah who went through the tribulation of the flood. Actually, Noah is not the picture of the church, but Israel. God protected and sheltered Noah as his judgment flood was unleashed. Noah was sealed by God and safely taken through the flood, just as 144,000 Israelis in Revelation chapter 7. Make sense? But Enoch, can I change the slide?
No.
Not yet? Okay. I heard somebody saying, well, I think I repeated it too, because I was not thinking. God brought the people and they went through the side of the Noah's Ark. And then they compared that as Jesus' blood from the side, bleed from the side. And I was thinking, how that works? There's no connection to it. Enoch was taken up to heaven before the flood. And church will be taken before the tribulation. Yes, Mikey.
Mm-hmm. In one of the scriptures you said, I go and prepare a place for you. If the post trips, if you come up and come right down again, you never get to the dwelling.
Even if they get to, they don't get to stay.
The dwelling place is in heaven. You come up and come right back down to earth.
Yeah.
So that place that he's prepared for you, you never get to.
Makes sense. Where's my apartment? You got to go downstairs.
It's in the basement.
Oh, bummer. Basement in heaven is still heaven.
Here on earth, not here.
Okay. So what should we do now? Whether you believe a pre-tribulation rapture or not, it will not affect where you will be ultimately. If you are a believer, you will be in heaven no matter what position you hold. Pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, pan-trib, I don't care. You will be in heaven if you are born again Christian. But your viewpoint concerning the rapture will definitely affect how you live your life this side of eternity. Jesus tells us to watch and be ready and be in prayer. There are times in the military, let me put it this way, when we are told, be ready for combat, and we prepare all things, and we train like that. And then they say, we don't know when it's going to be, but it's going to be soon. Then we train just like as if it's a combat. Am I making sense? You be ready all the time. But if somebody tell you, it's going to be a while, would you train that hard? Would you be ready all the time? And you may say, well, as soon as the things go wrong, and we're going to realize, okay, since I'm believing post-trib, it will be 7 years at the end. So first 6 years, I can do whatever I want and just straighten myself at the last year. It doesn't make sense. Go with what Jesus said. Be watchful. Be ready. Be in prayer. And somebody will say, well, he said 2,000 years ago, it hasn't happened. I actually heard this from the unbeliever. It hasn't happened for the last 2,000 years. It's not going to happen another 2,000 years. Yeah. But that person will be cut off God. But if we are ready, there's nothing in this world will hold us back.
Nope.
Be ready. Be watchful. Be in prayer. But what if you are not a born-again Christian? What if? You may say, well, I'm a good person. In what definition good is good enough? Am I making sense? What is good enough? According to one person, good is just be decent, be kind. Or another person, according to drug dealers, just don't take my drug away. Then you're good. So, we don't know. We cannot decide which one is right good enough. But according to God's standard, none of our good is good enough. It's not like a filthy rag according to the book of Isaiah. Close your eyes, bow your head, please. In the quietness of your heart, ask yourself, am I born again Christian that preacher talked about? If I'm not, if my goodness is not good enough, then what? According to Bible, Jesus said, unless you are born again, you will not enter into the kingdom of God. That means you will not be in heaven. So let me ask you this. Is there any reason why you should not become born again Christian? If you're a logical person, it should make sense. Say yes to Jesus. Do it now. Come into my heart. Be my Savior and my Lord. Let nothing hold you back, because nothing in this world will save you except Jesus. If you made a commitment, I want you to raise your hand high. Okay? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Let what you said to us tonight ring in our heart, that we may follow you with all of our heart, mind, and soul. Be watchful. Be ready. Praise in Jesus' name.